Bias against women at work. Bias against people of color in the criminal justice system. Bias against the LGBTQ community at the marriage license desk. The news stories about the many ways bias, unconscious or otherwise, rears its head in American society keep piling up. It's easy to see the latest headlines, shake our heads, and feel like there is nothing we can do about it. Enter New York University professor and social psychologist Dali Chugg, whose new book, The Person You Mean to Be, How Good People Fight Bias, offers a message for anyone who wants to help build a more equal and just society for everyone, but does not know where to start. Dr. Dali Chugg is a Harvard-educated, award-winning social psychologist at the NYU Stern School of Business. Again, the name of the book is The Person You Mean to Be, and we welcome Dr. Chugg to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me, Joe.
It's very nice to have you on the program. At what point did you think that this was something that you wanted to write about in regards being a social psychologist, that you wanted to write about bias?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been studying as a scholar, as a social psychologist, I've been studying bias for almost 20 years, but very much in a, you know, in a lab, in an ivory tower, in a classroom. And I found myself, I've not considered myself to be an activist or a protester, but I did attend and participate in a Black Lives Matter protest a few years ago around Christmas time, and it was my first protest. I was there because I absolutely believe in the work and wanted to support it, but it turned out it was this die-in at a toy store in Times Square at the Toys R Us, and I was remembering Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old who was killed in Cleveland while playing in the park with a toy gun. And I was lying on the ground with many others. Silent Night was playing on the intercom because it was Christmas time. And I just felt myself not, like, this isn't something I can sustain. It's not my voice. I'm not bold enough to do this on a regular basis. It took so much, like, hyping myself up to have the courage to come to this protest. And yet I believe in that work and I want to support it. How do I do that? And then I said, well, wait a minute. I study this stuff for a living. There is a way to contribute that maybe doesn't require the boldness of a protest, important and essential as that is. So I thought, let me bring the work out of the ivory tower, bring it to people like me who can use it and other people who can use it as well in the real world.
Okay, so let us begin with your definition of bias and how it creeps into all of us.
Yeah. So when I think of bias, it, you know, in and of itself, it's a neutral term. It just means something that's preferencing one thing or over another. You know, I preference pizza over celery. I have a very strong bias for pizza over celery.
Amen, Dali. Amen.
You can tell I have lunch on my mind.
Yeah.
But so bias in of itself just means there's some leaning in one direction or another. The kind of bias that I'm fascinated by is the kind of bias that doesn't align with who we want to be, which is why the title of my book speaks to that, The Person You Mean to Be. So I'm interested in the kind of bias that is sometimes referred to as unconscious or implicit bias. I call it the psychology of good people. When there's something we care about in our conscious intentions, and yet in ways we don't intend, we are behaving or thinking in different ways. That's the bias I'm most interested in.
You talk about getting rid of this definition of being a good person and embrace just being good-ish.
Yeah.
Why is that important to do?
Yeah. Well, the reason it's important is because our working definition of good person is a very tight corner where there's no room for errors. You're either a sexist or you're not. You're a racist or you're not. And the reality is, and I say this from the standpoint of looking at both the research I've done, as well as the research many, many, many other social scientists have done, there's just no scientific credibility for this notion that we are completely free of missteps and errors and bias. That doesn't mean that's who we want to be. That doesn't mean that's what we want to stand behind. But the reality is the mind, the huge portion of our mental processes are taking place outside of our awareness, and some of those mental processes don't align with this good person vision we have of ourselves. So what happens is when we do make those mistakes or errors, because we're in such a tight corner of a good person as an either-or thing, we double down and say, well, no, that was not racist, or I don't know, how dare you? I hire lots of women, or my cousin's gay, I would never. And I see myself doing this all the time, that I want to reject my sense of threat around my identity just goes into the red zone, because we are so attached to that good person identity. What I'm proposing is let's use the science. The science says that there are times in which we are works in progress. We are goodish more than good. And perhaps if we could embrace the fact that we are goodish, we'll actually get better. We won't double down and get defensive and go into the red zone. We will say, wow, that was a blind spot. I thank you for pointing that out. That's really like kind of shocking to me that I had that impact, or I need to learn about that. That's if you're willing to teach me, I'm willing to learn. I'm also willing to go learn on my own. Like, those are the kinds of reactions that a goodish person has versus a good person in that tight corner.
In the book, you write about privilege, and what you say is that every single one of us, no matter what your background, if you're white, if you're black, if you're brown, if you're straight, if you're gay, you have what you would refer to as ordinary privilege. So what does that mean, and how does that affect a bias?
Yeah. So ordinary privilege is a term I'm using to describe the part of your identity you think least about, or parts of your identity you think least about. And so I'll give an example. I'm straight, and I can go like weeks, months without thinking about the fact that I'm straight, right? Because when I come into work on a Monday morning and someone says, how was your weekend? I don't have to put a lot of thought into my own physical safety, how I'm viewed, the prejudice of other people in saying, oh, my husband and I saw this great movie, Searching. You should go see it. I just say it, and I don't think twice about revealing that I spent time with a significant other who's a man. My friends who are of the gay community are not necessarily able to as quickly answer that question. They have to think about, who are they speaking to? What are their intentions? What's at stake if they reveal something? Which is why something like 46% of our colleagues nationwide are in the closet at work. So the part of your identity, like my example, the part of my identity I rarely have to think about is being straight, because the whole world is built for people like me. And so it's ordinary. It's just an ordinary part of my existence that doesn't require a lot of thought on my part. But it's a privilege because it also signals to me that that's probably where my blind spots are, of where things work in my favor easily. And that means someone else is facing some struggles in that area who doesn't have that ordinary privilege. There's research that says that when you're of a certain identity and you speak up against bias in that identity, so if a black person speaks up about a racist joke, they are perceived as more whiny and having a sense of entitlement versus if a white person speaks up about the same racist joke in the same way. So the ordinary privilege brings with it, once you figure out where that is, the part of your identity you think least about, is where you probably have some influence you might not even be aware you have. And so I'm hoping we can think of privilege in a less charged way and more as an opportunity to have impact.
So for a black gay man, where is the ordinary privilege?
Yeah, so the way I describe all the dimensions, and I'm not creating a hierarchy here, I realize that some parts of our identity offer more challenges than others. But a black gay man, if they're the native English speaker, that may be a form of ordinary privilege. If they are physically able-bodied, that may be a form of ordinary privilege. If they are an American citizen and have papers in the United States, using America as our context, that could be a form of ordinary privilege. If they're educated, there's all these ways in which the world is built to support certain identities.
So when you look at this, no matter what the background may be, you show us in the book that people that you talk to have all learned that they are biased in some way. So how ultimately does that come to light? In some cases, it's very easy. Some cases, it takes a little bit longer, a lot longer. And then once it's identified, the next step being what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think what you're referring to are the stories and interviews in the book that I did, which was some of the most powerful learning for me in doing the book. People ranging from famous people, best-selling author Jodi Picoult's story, her story along with her family story is featured in the book, and she spoke very candidly, as well as people you might not have heard of, former students of mine. I'm a professor at NYU. In each of their cases, they came to it in a different way. You know, in Jodi's case, it was her son and son-in-law who really put her in a position to see stuff that, like, really was upsetting about her role as a white woman in racism. In other cases, it was more political events or, you know, things happening in the country. This is not a political book, but obviously political events have created an awareness around some issues that weren't being as widely discussed before. In other cases, it was Mel Wymore tells his story as a transgender man who has experienced the world through the lens of a man and a woman and doesn't buy into the gender binary that I'm using in my language. And he is able to speak about the experience from multiple perspectives of how gender creates such a strong force in our lives. So I think everybody got there in different ways, but where they go with it is once they're able, you know, if they don't necessarily use my language of goodish, but that's what I see in their actions, is once they're able to embrace the goodish aspect of their personality, they're able to say, okay, so now what do I do? Not how do I defend? How do I hide? How do I deny? It's, oh, so how do I get better?
And that is the key here, is to get better. It seems rather impossible to try to eradicate all bias throughout the land. However, it's what we can do to make ourselves better.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes my book, it's some people come to this book thinking it's going to be a great, like, show me the right hiring process or the new system or give me the magic bullet on how I de-bias my brain. And, you know, I wish I had all those things for you. Like, there are experts out there who can speak to some of those things, but we don't have the magic bullet on de-biasing. What I do think I offer is what I've been trying to do for myself, both as a human being and as a scholar, which is, the work has to begin with ourselves. If we think we're going to be able to wave a magic wand and solve bias in the world without thinking about ways in which we are what I sometimes call carriers and barriers of that bias, we're kind of like, why wouldn't we be part of the systems that are pervasive throughout society? It's almost like we need the humility to see the ways in which we're part of it.
The name of the book is The Person You Mean to Be, How Good People Fight Bias. The book is published by Harper Business. Dolly Chugg, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, Joe, this was so exciting for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, The Person You Mean to Be. It is published by Harper Business. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.